You know, it's great to sing these worship songs, a lot of them inspired by Scripture. But to sing songs that just declare His holiness is just something I feel like of a whole other level. You know, when different people, whether it be Isaiah or John, would have visions of the throne room of God, there'd be a phrase that would be declared over and over: "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy." And they just kept saying this over and over again. And to sing that as His people, we are mirroring what is currently happening in the throne room of God. And there's just something special about declaring that together as God's people, His holiness and His goodness, and that He reigns and that He's King and who He is. And so thank you, worship team, for leading us in that time of worship. I think in my life, the times when I'm most aware of my need for God is right now. If I can be vulnerable a little bit, I think when I get up here on a Sunday morning, I often feel that God has a word for me to speak, but I also feel my greatest need for the Lord. Because I realize it's not about what I have to say, it's about what God has to say. And I say, God, I need to get out of the way, and You need to speak. And so I want to pray this morning that God would speak, and I invite you to pray with me that God would speak to you, but that God would speak through me this morning. So God, we thank You for who You are and Your holiness and Your goodness, that You are King, that You reign. God, I confess right now that I need You to speak this morning. I need to hear Your voice. God, each one of us needs to hear Your voice this morning. God, we depend on the words that come from You. God, we thank You for Your word that You have given us. God, I pray that You would bring it alive to us this morning. God, I thank You for the ways that You have already spoken to us through Sunday school, through interactions, through worship, Lord. God, we thank You that You are here in our midst. God, You say that You inhabit the praises of Your people. And so as we just spent time praising You and lifting You high, God, You came to dwell here among us. God, I pray that You would transform us this morning. In Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus, amen. I'm going to invite you to stand and get your Bible, hold it in your hand. If you don't have a Bible with you, feel free to grab a pew Bible. Also, if you are in the habit of using your phone as your Bible, open up your phone app for your Bible app on your phone and hold that up as well. We're going to make this declaration together as we get started this morning. So this is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I'll be taught by the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. And I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can be seated. It's great to start off with that declaration, rooting us in the Word of God, His Word to us. The Scripture that was read for us earlier in Acts chapter 3, there's really one verse in there that I'm going to zero in on this morning. It's verse 19 of Acts chapter 3. This is Peter speaking to the onlookers, those who have witnessed this great miracle of this man who was lame and crippled, laying by the temple gate, begging, and he was healed by the power of Jesus. And people say, what is going on? What is this? Who is this man? Was he just healed? What's going on? Are you gods? What is happening? And Peter preaches to them, declares the goodness of God, and he says, look, you've sinned. You've crucified the very one who was coming to save you. But in Acts 3, verse 19, he gives a call. He says, repent. Turn from your sin. Turn to God, that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. So we're going to focus on repentance this morning. But before we do that, there's a few kind of building blocks that I want to set in place to get us to this place of repentance. So we're going to walk through some things, kind of setting a foundation to get to the place where we're going to talk about repentance. So that's kind of the roadmap of where we're going this morning. We're heading towards repentance. We're heading towards that turning to God, having our sins blotted out, that times of refreshing may come. But we're going to start with a few building blocks this morning. So we are created, we are designed for relationship with God. When God designed Adam and Eve, when God first created human beings, He designed them to enter into a loving and intimate and a passionate relationship with Him. That's what He designed them to do. That's what we are created to do. We're created to be in relationship with God. We're created to walk with God, to talk with God, to interact with Him, to know His voice. And this is the deepest longing of each of our hearts. To be in a deep and intimate, a passionate and loving relationship with God. Each and every one of us, the deepest cry of our hearts is to be in that relationship. Now, culture may tell you something different. Culture say, what is really the deepest longing of your heart is this. Or it says, you know, this is what you really need, or this is what you truly want, or if you can just have this, you'll be satisfied. Maybe it's material possessions. Maybe it's success or status. Maybe it's a relationship with somebody. But it says, this is what you want. This is what's really going to satisfy you. And so sometimes we get caught up chasing all these things. But in the end, the deepest longing of our heart is to be in relationship with God. Nothing will satisfy us like a relationship with God. That is what we were created for, and that's what everyone here in this building is designed for. That's what the longing of our heart is. Everyone outside this building, that's what they're designed for. That's what the longing of their heart is, even if they don't acknowledge it, even if they're not aware of it. That is what they were created to do, is to be in relationship with God. So that's what God designed us to do. That's what He created us for. We're created to live in the encompassing peace of God. His shalom in relationship. Shalom that goes so much more than just, you know, the world's understanding of peace. But the tangible presence of peace, of security, of wellness, of blessing, of the goodness of God. To experience that in relationship with Him. God created us to know His voice, to walk with Him, to be with Him, and to, above all others, be drawn to Him. God designed us for a relationship with Him that brings hope and freedom to our lives. A relationship that fills our life with purpose. A relationship that grounds our life in the truth of who God is and His Word. This is what He designed us to do. This is who He designed us to be, in relationship with Him. However, sin broke the relationship that we were designed for, that we were created for. In our pride and in our selfishness, we walked away from God. We said, God, my way is better than your way. Thanks for telling me what your recommendations are, but I'm going to do it my way. We walked away from God. We chose to follow our own sinful desires rather than experience the fullness of a relationship with Him. We are endlessly enticed by sin. Something that looks attractive and alluring, like a fishing lure to a fish. And we chase after sin and we take a bite only to realize as we bite into what we thought was attractive and going to be satisfying to us, and we bite down on a hook. We enter into a trap, into bondage. In sin, we lose our grasp of the truth. And we follow what seems right to us at the time. In sin, we experience brokenness in our lives. Brokenness in relationships. Envy, bitterness, strife. We are bound by our evil desires. We are held captive and in bondage by sin, away from and apart from the God who loved us and designed us to be in relationship with Him. And without intervention, we would be experiencing eternal separation from God. So God designed us for relationship with Him. That was His original intent when He created human beings, was for relationship with Him. But we broke that by stepping into sin. And there's nothing we can do on our own to save ourselves. But there's good news. Jesus is the good news. Jesus came and made a way to restore relationship with God. Jesus came to the earth, left His home in glory, came to become a human being, a baby, a vulnerable, helpless baby, to grow up, to lead a sinless life, that He would be able to pay the penalty for the sin and the death that we deserve. He made a way for forgiveness of sin and reconciliation to right relationship with God. It is through Jesus that we can come back into right standing and right relationship with God that we are created to be in the first place. So, we were created for relationship. We broke that relationship through sin. But yet Jesus made a way back to that relationship. To come back to what is the deepest longing of our heart. And when we experience the salvation of Jesus, we now walk in that relationship that we were designed for. We walk in that peace and that freedom, that truth and blessing, the intimate knowledge of God, the hope and purpose of a life in relationship with God. We step back into that because of the work of Jesus. And my hope is that this morning we are all at that point where we recognize we are created for relationship. We recognize that we messed it up. We broke the relationship. But that Jesus made a way, and through the way Jesus made, we can step back into relationship with Him. And if we are not at that place this morning, I would love to invite you to experience the restoration of relationship with God that is made possible through the sacrifice of Jesus. That we can step into that relationship that we were designed for, that we were created for. The deepest longing of our heart that can only be satisfied in relationship with God and what He designed us to do. So this is where we're at. We're in relationship with Jesus. We've been restored to what God created us to be in relationship with Him through the sacrifice of Jesus. And so now we're all hunky-dory. Everything's great. Everything's roses and just dandy and there's butterflies and rainbows and everything's just great, right? No, we are in a war. There's an enemy fighting against us. So Jesus has made a way to restore relationships, and we've stepped into that restoration of relationship with God. We have access to an intimate and a passionate and a deep relationship with God, and yet we are still in a battlefield because the enemy is still fighting against us. Now there's a little theological question here that people could get into. I'm going to acknowledge it and then we're going to move on. Is everybody okay with that? Thank you. So there's the theological debate. On one side, people say, once you're saved, you're always saved. You can never lose your salvation. On the other side, people say, you can be saved and then you can choose to walk away from God. We're not getting into that. I'm just acknowledging that. But the point is, either way, the enemy is still fighting against us. Whether he can take salvation, whether he can convince us to walk away or not, whether we're secured, either way, there is a battle going on. The enemy is fighting against us, that he realizes that we have access to a relationship with God through the payment that Jesus made on the cross for our sins. And so he's going to do everything in his power to slow us down. His goal, the enemy's goal, is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's not just going to sit back and stop that Once we say, Jesus, thank you for your forgiveness for my sins, and we step into that relationship with God, He's going to keep pursuing us. The enemy is going to keep pursuing us. And what is the one thing that he is going to attack us with? What is the one thing in his arsenal that he is going to bring against us? What is the one thing that interferes with this intimate, deep, personal relationship with God? The very thing that separated us from him to start with. Sin. Satan is going to do all he can to get us to sin. That is his goal, that is his weapon. Because he realizes that sin separated us from God. And so now that we've accepted the salvation, now that we've stepped into relationship with God, he realizes that sin will still cause an interference between us and God. So that is what he's going to attack us with. He's going to bring us down with sin. Sin separates us from God and interferes with our relationship with Him. In Hebrews 12, it compares the Christian life to running a race. It talks about running with endurance, and we're instructed to, as we run, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. That as we are running in our relationship with God, sin will entangle us. And when we get entangled by sin, we don't run very well. When we get entangled in sin, it affects our relationship with God. It affects the relationship that we were created for. Satan's goal is to stop us in our tracks, or at least slow us down, make us ineffective, interfere with our relationship with God. You know, an electric appliance is only as good as its connection to the power source. If there's some interference with the connection, or something's broken with the connection, the appliance is going to be rendered, you know, ineffective or completely useless. Satan realizes that if he can interfere with our connection with God, we become stuck in our tracks, Christians. However, that's not the end of the story. There is good news. We have been given a tool by God to cut off the entangling sin. That as we run this race with perseverance towards a loving Father who wants an intimate relationship with us, and Satan tries to entangle us in sin, we have been given a tool to cut off the sin. Can anybody guess what that tool is? Holy Spirit, repentance. Thank you. God has given us repentance to cut off the baggage of sin in our lives, in our Christian walk. Repentance is simply the act of turning away from our sin that leads to death, and turning to God, who leads to life. It's walking away from the bondage of sin, the entanglement of sin, and stepping into the fullness and clarity and goodness of a relationship with God, unobstructed and unhindered by sin. Now, we do not save ourselves through repentance. I want to make that clear. Jesus saves us by His payment on the cross. He made a way for us to be restored to relationship. However, just because He made a path for restoration of relationship does not mean He makes us repent of our sins. Repent is an action that we do in response to the provision, to the atonement of Jesus Christ on the cross. This is why Jesus calls us to repentance, because it is an action of ours in response to something He has done. Jesus begins His ministry in Matthew chapter 4. He begins His ministry, He begins to preach, and He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." The message that He declares is one of repentance, because He knows that in repentance, we are set free from our sin, and when we are set free from our sin, we enter into relationship with God, in which we were designed to live. Even, you know, backing up a chapter, John the Baptist is paving the way for Jesus to come, for Jesus' ministry to start. Jesus once said of John the Baptist that he was the greatest man to ever be born of a woman. And if Jesus said that about someone, you should probably listen to what he says. I should probably listen to what he says. And this is what John the Baptist said in preparing a way for Jesus. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." He called people to repentance. I believe that repentance is one of the most powerful things we can do in the Christian walk. It is one of the most freeing things that we can do in the Christian walk. In Mark 6, when Jesus sends out the 12 disciples, this is their first mission trip, so to say. He sends them out, and it says they went from town to town calling the people to repentance. We are called to repent, to turn from sin, to turn to God. And a lack of repentance in the Christian life will lead to ineffective, unproductive, and stale Christian living. Because repentance sets us free from the entanglement of sin. We need to be quick to repent. 2 weeks ago, I went on a short journey with somebody. I was traveling. We were going to lunch. And we come to a T in the road. We come to an intersection. And we had already decided where we're going. And I see that the driver, I was in the passenger seat, I see the driver has his left turn signal on. And I'm like, that's not the way we need to go. So I told him, I said, as we're waiting to pull out, I was like, don't we need to turn the other way? So, yep, change turn signals. We pull out right, we're going down the road, and we're having conversation, we're interacting, and after a little while, I'm like, wait a minute. I think we were supposed to go left back there. So we both decide, yeah, we're pretty sure that's what we're supposed to do. So we pull into a driveway, we turn around, and we head back. That's what repentance is. Repentance is realizing you're going the wrong direction, acknowledging it, and turning back in the right direction. That's all it is. It's turning away from sin in the wrong direction and turning back to God to experience the life and the fullness and the goodness He offered. Now, when we realized we were going the wrong direction, we did not sit in that driveway we had pulled into and complain and bemoan the fact that we were going the wrong direction and we're such terrible people and we have no sense of direction and oh my goodness. We said, we're going the wrong direction, so we're going to turn around and head in the right direction because that's where we need to go. And there was good food that was awaiting us. I think sometimes we have an Old Testament view of repentance where people tear their clothes and put ashes on their head and beat their chest and sit in sackcloth and they cry, oh, I'm such a terrible person and I've messed up and I've sinned and Lord, I'm a miserable soul. Would you please maybe, if you're willing, reach out and save me? Jesus presents a new view of repentance. In the verse that I mentioned at the beginning, Acts chapter 3, verse 19, Peter says, repent, turn to God, that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Repentance is a joyful action, inviting the refreshing of God to come in our lives. How many of you drive with a GPS? You know when you go the wrong direction and your GPS does that little recalculating thing? Wouldn't it be a bummer if the GPS took 30 minutes to recalculate? That you go the wrong direction, you have no idea where you're going, you go the wrong direction, and it says recalculating, and it just sits there and spins and spins and spins, and you know 30 minutes later it says, okay, here's where you need to go. If that would happen, you would either be just sitting there waiting for it to tell you where to go, or you'd be heading in the wrong direction, waiting for it to correct you. Unfortunately, too many Christians live their life headed in the wrong direction, or sitting, waiting to refocus on God because they're missing the tool of repentance in their lives. Repentance is what gets us back on track. We feel like we sin, and then we realize that that puts a barrier that interferes with our relationship with God, and so we feel bad about ourselves, and so we just kind of sit in our self-pity, and we're like, well, I sinned, and so I deserve to feel bad, and I deserve the consequences, and I'm just going to stay here, and I'm not ready to repent yet because I just need to stay here, and I just need to like sit in the consequences of my sin before the Lord will forgive me, and I just need to stay in this place of brokenness. And Jesus says, look, repent. That we step into sin, and right afterwards we realize, I sinned, and we go to the Lord immediately. We say, God, I repent of that sin. That was the wrong direction. I acknowledge that. I turn and I face to you, and I thank you for your forgiveness in my life. I rebuke the work of the enemy in that sin having a stronghold on my life. I rebuke that, and I receive your truth, and I walk in alignment with you. We need to be Christians who are quick to recalculate. When we step into sin, we don't sit in the shame of sin. We don't sit in the bondage of sin. We don't sit in the self-pity of sin. But we immediately go to the Lord and experience the freedom and the times of refreshing that come from the Lord through repentance. Like I said, I think repentance is one of the most powerful and freeing things in the Christian life. And when we are missing out on the habit of regular and quick repentance, we end up sitting by the side of the road waiting to recalculate. And Satan has won. He has rendered us ineffective and hindered our relationship with God for the time being. But when we repent, we break the bondage of sin on our lives. We break the interference of sin in our relationship with God, and we walk back into that correct and full and good and intimate and passionate relationship with God that we were created to live in. As Christians, we need to be quick to repent. Repentance is not filled with sorrow. You say, well, what about the verse that says godly sorrow leads to repentance? Yes, godly sorrow leads to repentance. It doesn't say godly sorrow sticks around for a while and then you just feel sorrowful about yourself. But godly sorrow, the purpose of godly sorrow is a sorrow of realizing I have hurt the heart of the one I love and I need to repent. Godly sorrow leads us back to a relationship with God. Earthly sorrow says, man, I've sinned and I'm kind of sorrowful about it because I recognize the consequences and this affects me and this hurts me and maybe it hurts that person and it doesn't lead to repentance. But godly sorrow, a recognition that we have caused hurt to the heart of the Father who created us, leads us to repentance. And repentance leads us to right relationship with God. You know, Scripture says that the kindness of God leads us to repentance. It is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. It's not His judgment that leads us to repentance. It's not His strong fist that says, well, you did wrong, here's the consequences that leads us to repentance. It is the kindness of God, the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And when we repent, we turn from the acts of sin that lead to death. And we turn to Christ who leads to life. As Christians, we need to be quick to repent. Quick to restore into right relationship with God through the salvation that is offered in Jesus. And when we make a habit of repenting quickly after sin, of stepping back into relationship, of acknowledging that we're going the wrong direction and turning around, we become more full of God's Holy Spirit. We have a deeper connection with God in relationship because we are quick to remove the sin from our life and step back into the relationship that we were designed for. God, I pray that you would make us quick to repent. God, I pray that this congregation would be known as a congregation that is quick to repent. God, that when we sin, we immediately turn back to you in repentance. God, that we do not allow the enemy to entangle us in sin and the shame and the bondage of sin, but we are set free by repentance, because it is your kindness, your loving kindness, that leads us into repentance. God, I pray that you would shift our minds, that we would no longer look at repentance as something that's hard and difficult and burdensome and really just kind of depressing, but God, that we would see repentance as a tool that you have given us, that we may live in the fullness of life that you promised us. God, I pray that we would step into joyful repentance, that our repentance would be filled with joy, because we know that we are turning away from acts of death, acts of sin, and stepping towards you, focusing on you, and receiving the life that comes through Christ our Savior. God, make us quick to repent. God, give us the burden of repentance on our lives. God, we commit to maintaining the connection and the relationship with you. God, we commit that when we get entangled in sin, that we are quick to cut that off through repentance and step back into relationship with you. God, I pray that as we do this, as we repent in our lives, God, that we would be drawn into deeper relationship with you. We would fall more in love with you. We'd be more passionate about you. God, that as a result of that, we would have fruitful lives for you. God, we'd be Christians who are on fire because we maintain a vibrant connection to you through repentance, Lord. God, give us the burden for repentance. God, we thank you that you made a way for repentance, that we can come back to you and experience being in right standing with you. I want to give some time as we close the service. If there's anything that you feel God has been highlighting in your life that you need to repent of, to repent of that. And remember, this is not sit in your seat and feel bad about yourself time. This is be excited because you're stepping into the fullness of life that God offers. God, I repent of my passivity, of the times when I sit back and do not do what I know you have called me to do. God, I thank you for your forgiveness. God, I repent of a undedicated prayer life. God, I thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. God, I repent of not loving others the way that you have instructed me to. Thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. God, I repent of times I hold bitterness in my heart instead of extending forgiveness, Lord. Thank you for your kindness that leads to repentance. Thank you for your forgiveness, God. Lord, we thank you for your gift of repentance that leads us to life with you, that leads us to times of refreshing that come from the Lord. Amen.